Okay, everybody, get your Bibles out today because we are going to be moving through some Scripture. Amen? We're going to be moving through some Scripture today. And I've been praying extra hard for this particular message. This is going to wrap up our series on unshakable faith. And in the fashion of all good presentations, I'm saving the best for last. And this is by far the best message of the series. I don't know how well I'm going to deliver it. I don't know how well you're going to like what I do, but I can assure you this, the Scriptures and the topic we're discussing today is by far the most important message of this series, without a doubt. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask you to check out some statistics as I read a passage from this book. Caitlin, if you can bring those up, you've also got these on your sermon notes today. Now, this is a book I've been reading. It's titled Follow Me. And as I read, you'll see some of these statistics up on the screen. Consider a recent study which found that 4 out of 5 Americans identify themselves as Christians. How many? 4 out of every 5 Americans identify themselves as Christians. In this group of self-proclaimed Christians, less than half of them are involved in church on a weekly basis. Less than half of them actually believe the Bible is accurate. And the overwhelming majority of them don't have a biblical view of the world around them. Now, let's repeat that because these are the statistics that are up here. 4 out of 5 Americans what? Identify themselves as Christians. So 4 out of every 5 people that you talk to and you say, are you a Christian? They're going to respond to you, yes, I'm a Christian. But that very same 4 out of 5, less than half of them are involved in church on a weekly basis. Also, less than half of them even believe that the Bible is accurate. So out of those 4 out of 5, if you asked half of them, is the Bible accurate, they're going to say no, the Bible is not true. Are you following me so far? And the overwhelming majority of them do not have a biblical worldview. Now, let me explain to you what that means. A biblical worldview means that you see the world, Ken, through the lens of Scripture. So when you see something's wrong in Scripture, if you see it in the world, it's wrong. If you see something that's right in the Scripture and you see it in the world, you say, that's right. That's the basic way to understand a biblical worldview. Right or wrong is based on the Scripture. The majority of the 4 out of 5 don't even hold a biblical worldview. The pollsters went even deeper, though, to identify men and women who are described as born-again Christians, as if there's any other kind. These are people who say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus and who believe they will go to heaven because they have accepted Jesus as their Savior. According to the research, almost half of Americans are born-again Christians, okay? But out of this group of born-again Christians, researchers found that their beliefs and lifestyles are virtually indistinguishable from the rest of the world around them. Many of these born-again Christians believe that their works can earn them a place in heaven. Others think that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. Some believe that Jesus sinned while he was on the earth. And an ever-increasing number of born-again Christians describe themselves as only marginally committed to Jesus Christ. Billy just said it. He summed up this research right here in a nutshell. He said, you can't be a Christian and only be marginally committed to Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian and believe the Bible is inaccurate. You cannot be a Christian and believe that Muslims and Christians serve the exact same God because you have a distorted view of God. You can't possibly know Him. Amen? I mean, we got to get into this morning. You have to understand that this is an epidemic, because what's happening is that a whole bunch of people believe that they're Christians when they in truth are, they're not. Now, if this was any other message, I wouldn't take this moment with you. But this message is serious. This message is extremely important. This is not about discipleship and helping you grow in your faith. This is about whether or not you even have faith at all. The series is entitled Unshakable Faith. So the first thing that we've got to get down pat with this unshakable faith is whether or not we are actually saved, born again, Christian brothers and sisters. Now, we walk in here every Sunday and we assume that we are. 4 out of 5 assume that they are Christians. And it's very, very unpopular within the church today to ever say that a person who says they're a Christian is not actually a Christian. It's deemed as very judgmental. It's deemed in this sense that if a person has ever went to an altar or has ever said a prayer, they've got to be saved, right? So how dare you say that they're not? Well, let me tell you right now, folks, the scriptures we're going to read today from Jesus Christ and His apostles are going to prove to you that this is a little bit more involved than people are leading you to believe. That salvation in Christ Jesus has depth to it. It's not some simple little trite thing that you do on the surface and nothing else changes. You just say some words or you walk to an altar or you get dunked in some water. Something seriously has to happen inside of your soul. Your mind has to be renewed. There has to be change. And I want you to understand the scriptures back this up. This isn't Brother Shane's opinion. This isn't Church of God doctrine. This is Christian teaching. And if 4 out of every 5 Americans surveyed say that they're a Christian, and you look around, what do you think? Do you think 4 out of every 5 people you encounter on the streets are Christian? Do you think 4 out of every 5 people you see on television is a Christian? Do you think 4 out of 5 of every politician is a Christian? No, the answer is an emphatic no on all points. There is no way, according to the Scripture, I'm not being judgmental, I'm going to read you Scripture that backs this up. There is no way that 4 out of every 5 Americans are honest, believing Christian brothers and sisters. They are something else. And here's the serious part for Smith Chapel Church today, is there may be some of the 4 out of 5 here. You might be one of the 4 out of 5. And I want you to open yourself up to this, please. Open yourself up to the possibility that maybe you're not saved today and you've been fooled into believing that you are. I know that's a tough concept to wrap your head around, but I want you to open yourself up to it and get ready for this message. Are you ready for this message? All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, main idea, repeat after me. Salvation requires unshakable faith. Now, I'm going to read that backwards and kind of arrange it a little differently. No unshakable faith, no salvation. Okay, I want you to look to the person next to you and say, no faith, no salvation. Okay, without faith, there's no salvation, people. You need to understand that. The church needs to understand that this morning. If there's no unshakable faith, if that faith is not there, you cannot possibly be saved. Because we are saved by grace through faith. If you do not have the faith, you are not a child of God. It's not happening in your life right now, and you may need to open yourself up to the idea that you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ. All right? So, salvation requires unshakable faith. Let's pull up our first point, Caitlin. This is the great deception. Are you ready to hear the great deception? The great deception is perpetrated by none other than Satan himself. And the great deception is this. If I can fool Keith into believing that he's a Christian when he's really not, then my work's done. If I can fool Jamie into believing he's a Christian when he's really not, then my work's done. If I can fool Mickey into believing she's a Christian when she's not, then my work's done. The great deception is that a lot of people have bought into this lie, and Satan has convinced all of these people that they are Christian when they are not. When they are not. This is the great deception. Now you say to me today, Pastor, Man, you're tiptoeing on a fine line here. I mean, you can't be preaching this message in just any church, right? You get run out. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to read a scripture to you today, and you tell me whether or not what I'm sharing with you today is true or false. Are you ready for that scripture? Caitlin, bring up this scripture. This is out of Matthew chapter 7. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I encourage you to do that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter by the what? Narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are... Look at the person next to you and say, there are many.
There are many.
All right. Hey, look at the details. Read the words. There are many who will go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are who find it. Now, folks, if that's not sobering this morning, if that doesn't bring you down to the reality of this message today, I don't know what's going to. It says there are two roads. One is wide, one is broad, and it leads straight to destruction. And many will go by that road. Now, the statistic we looked at the beginning said 4 out of 5 surveyed say they are Christian. So that means only 1 out of 5 is not. That contradicts this scripture completely. Because what this scripture says is that you actually should flip-flop that. And maybe 1 in 5 are actual believers and 4 out of 5 are on the wide road. This is biblical. This is Jesus. This is not me inventing something. If you trust and believe in the Bible, you need to understand this logic. Now, if you don't, odds are you're one of those folks that don't believe the Bible's accurate. Hello? Hello? If you're saying this morning, well, that's just a scripture. That doesn't prove anything. There's your evidence right there. If you don't believe the scriptures, how can you possibly believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ? Because the scriptures are what teach us about the salvation of Jesus Christ. The scriptures say that this wide road is going to have many people and the narrow road only a few are going to find. Only a few are going to find it. Many are on the wide road. A few are on the narrow road leading to life. But Satan would have you believe that many people are following Jesus Christ. All kinds of folks are Christians. We live in a Christian nation. We got Christian school systems. We got Christian jobs. We got Christians all over the place. I mean, Christianity is all through the Bible Belt, right, Ken? These people all believe in Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. Satan believes in Jesus. Demons believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus is not the point. What? You mean just believing is not enough? If it was, Satan would be saved. If it was, demons would be saved because they recognized Jesus for who He was. You remember the scriptures? When He walked up, the demons knew who He was and they were scared of Him. The Bible doesn't teach that all it takes is belief. But many churches, many pastors, will propagate this lie, and Satan attaches himself right to it. You go up and ask anybody, listen, people come to me all the time. They may be drunk, they may be high as a kite, they may be living in all kinds of sin, and they come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really struggling with my electric bill. Can the church help? And I say, well, sure we can help you. Because we love you, and the church wants to do something. And as soon as they're asking me, they start quoting scripture and they start talking about how Jesus, what He's done in their life. And I'm thinking, where are you on Sunday? I guess you're the street preacher, right? Truth is, these people aren't living for Jesus at all. But see, sometime in their life, they went to an altar. I'm sure that they did. And some pastor told them they were saved. And they're out living however they want to live, doing whatever they want to do. Nothing actually ever happened inside of them. Are you following me? But they still think they're saved because what? They believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I talk to people all the time that believe in Jesus and God. That doesn't mean anything. That's only the first step. You ready for these? Hey, some of you are saying, hey, this message better get better. Because right now you're on the verge of heresy. You're on the verge of getting fired, preacher, because belief is enough. I know lots of pastors that would attest to it. Belief's only the first step. Let's take a look at that. It takes unshakable faith to believe. Now, believing is sort of a fluid term for some people, okay? What I mean by that is I can say, Ken, that I believe in Jesus, and you can say that you believe in Jesus, but our ideas of what belief means, those can be totally different things, right? I can say I believe, and you say you believe, and we got totally different ideas of what belief actually means. So let's start the right way. Favorite scripture, most quoted scripture of all time, what is it? John 3:16. Bring it up, Caitlin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Problem solved. I mean, that's it. Whoever believes. See, the tricky part is understanding what they mean by believe. See, if you just mean by believe that I believe God exists, you know better than Satan. If you think believe means that you just simply believe that Jesus died on a cross, you know better than a lot of historians. They could be atheists, but Jesus is a historical figure. He died on a cross. Are you following me? Right? Even the records show that He was resurrected. Nobody can explain it. He wasn't in the grave. I mean, that's history. That's a history lesson. So, do you believe like Satan believes? You believe like an atheist professor that has to look at the literature and say, I have no other answer, so I gotta believe this guy existed. I gotta believe this guy was crucified, right? I mean, it's historical record. Or, does belief here mean something deeper? Does it mean something more than just intellectual assent to the existence of Jesus Christ and of God? Folks, you gotta believe it's more than just that. It's got to be more than just that. So, is John 3:16 wrong? Oh, come on, church. Is John 3:16 wrong?
No.
Man, this is lame. Y'all are tired this morning or something. We need to get a coffee bar going or something, right, Miss Miggy? The old-timers would probably condemn us for sinning, but at the same time, you'd be awake. So listen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Absolutely true. But let's talk about what believing means. Bring up the second one, Caitlin, this morning. It takes unshakable faith to confess. Folks, in order to be saved, you have to confess. Now, there's two types of confession. You really need both, but the one I'm talking about here is confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You would be surprised at how many altar calls go like this. Are you ready? Everybody, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Come on, do it with me. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Now, anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, just slip your hand up right now. Keep your eyes closed, everybody. Now, keep them closed. Slip your hand up. Come on, slip it up. Nobody's slipping their hand up. All right. Now open your eyes. How many altar calls you have like this? You don't know Jesus, stand up and say it. If you're going to trust in Him today, stand up and confess that Jesus is Lord in front of the church right now. See, pastors don't like that. Churches don't like that because it calls people out. It says that they have to make a public confession in front of other people and actually say that I was not a Christian before I walked in here today, but now I have made a decision to follow Jesus and I am confessing that He is Lord. Amen? Our churches today are ashamed of Jesus Christ. We got far too many of the heads down, eyes closed business going on and not near enough folks going to the altar. Not near enough folks going to the altar. We got too much of this stuff going on in the shadows because the world has convinced us that our faith is a personal thing. You're not supposed to be, you know, vocal about it. You're not supposed to be public about it. Keep that stuff to yourself. That's a lie straight from hell. That's a lie straight from hell. And I want to read you a scripture this morning to prove it. I'm not giving you my opinion, church. These are scripture. Let's take a look at it. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth what? Confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Now look, the very last part of this says, whoever what? Okay, and it says, for the Scripture says. So it's tagging something on to what we just read. Keep that in mind. Now the one before it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession has to be made before what happens? Salvation. And this writer here, Paul in Romans, says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. So part of believing, the way the Scripture teaches it, part of believing is confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can't skip it. You cannot skip it. When I was saved at 12 years old, I had to walk an aisle, and I had to pray at an altar, and I gave a testimony before I was baptized. Now listen, I'm not saying it has to be exactly that way, but what I am saying is that it has to be public. You can't hide it. You can't keep it in the shadows. You can't pretend that you really don't know Jesus, or maybe you do and maybe you don't, and be a Christian. There has to be a public confession. So my question to you this morning is, how many of us have made a public confession that Jesus is Lord? That we're not ashamed at our job or at school or in the home or in the middle of a church service to say, Jesus is Lord. Public confession. Now, of course, there's another kind of confession, and that's when we confess our sins. And that's next. Caitlin, can you bring this up for me? It takes unshakable faith to do what? To repent. Now, Billy, if I've borrowed your truck before, right? And I've borrowed your trailer before. I've borrowed both of them at different times. Now, what if I took your truck and your trailer out, and I got to rolling down the road, just not caring where I'm going or what I'm doing, speeding all over the place, and I had an accident with your vehicle and your trailer and tore it all up. Now, you worked hard to buy that thing and keep it in good shape, and then I borrowed it and I destroyed it. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to Brother Billy, and I'm going to say, Brother Billy, I was acting a fool in your truck. I was acting stupid. I was speeding. I wasn't caring anything about you or the responsibility you gave me. I wrecked the thing, and I am so, so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Folks, that is repentance. That is, when you do something wrong, you know it, you feel the guilt of it, and you have to ask for forgiveness from the person that you wronged. Now, the Scripture teaches us very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So that means everybody here, at some point or another, has sinned against God, against somebody. You have committed a sin. How many people come to Jesus in their mind? They believe in Jesus, they believe in God, they maybe even come to church, read the Bible, but they have never felt guilty for their sin. They have never felt like they have slighted God or wronged God. I have spoken to people that are literally have been in church years, maybe decades, that if you ask them about their life before Christ and the sinfulness, they don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean? I've never sinned. I've never been a sinner. I'm a good person, right? I've always been in church. Wrong. You are either a sinner by your own acknowledgement, saved by grace through faith, or you are still living in your sin. Folks, you can't earn your salvation, which means if you haven't come to that point where you feel the guilt and you know what you've done is wrong and you have asked Christ to forgive you, then you have not yet been saved. That's just, I mean, that's as simple as I can make it. Let's read the scripture. Caitlin, if you can bring that up this morning. This is Matthew 4:17. From that time, this is right after Jesus had been baptized, He began to preach and say what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at the person next to you and say, repent already. Hey, repent already. Repent. You know that you've sinned. You know that God's not happy with every single thing you ever thought about or did. Okay? Hello. You're not perfect today. Get over yourself and understand that it's wrong. Maybe right now the lifestyle you're living is wrong. Maybe right now the way you're thinking is wrong. Maybe right now the way that you treat other people or you disrespect God is wrong. And if it is, in order to be saved, you have to repent of it. You have to feel that guilt, know that you sinned, and say, God, it's my fault. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Folks, you'd be surprised at how many folks have not taken that step, yet believe in Jesus Christ and believe in God and come to church, but they've not repented. I hope that's nobody here today, but folks, if it is, I want you to be honest. You got to believe, but believing means confessing that Jesus is Lord publicly, and it also means repenting and really knowing what you've done is wrong and asking for forgiveness. Let's take a look at the last one, and I think this is probably the most rampant problem in Christian churches today. Teenagers, pay close attention, because I hear a lot of this from teenagers, and adults have this as well. It takes unshakable faith to receive. Now, we all know that salvation comes as a free gift. Amen? We're all in agreement with that, right? It's by grace. Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. He done the work. He gave us a gift. Now, Miss Donna, if I wrap you up a beautiful present, I spent a lot of money on, a lot of time, a lot of thoughtfulness, right? I got to know you real well. What was she like? What's the thing she really wants? And I wrapped it up, and I said, here it is. What's the only thing stopping her from getting this present? Taking it. You got to take it before you can open it. You have to receive the gift. Salvation is absolutely the same way. Jesus Christ has given us this free gift of salvation. He's done all the work. Right? He's done all the legwork. You have to do nothing but receive it. And there are people here today, and I know this because I'm your pastor, and you talk to me and I pray with you. There are folks here today, I know, you believe in Jesus Christ. And more than that, you have confessed that Jesus is Lord with your mouth. You're not ashamed of that. And you also have repented because you know the sin that's been in your life. You know the things you've struggled with. You know the temptations you still deal with today. But there's some of you here today that still don't believe that Jesus Christ loves you enough to forgive you. There are some of you here today that still don't believe that your sins have been washed away. You still don't believe that you are born again. You still don't believe that Jesus not only meant what He said when He said, you're forgiven, but He has the power to do it. He wants you to be saved. He has done all the work. He has all the power to make it happen. But there are some of you here today, while feeling every other step of that salvation process, you get to the end and you simply cannot believe that you're really a new person, that you really have been forgiven. And those of you here that are in that stage, you have not yet received the gift. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. You are not supposed to carry that junk around with you. You are not supposed to still feel guilty for that sin. You are not supposed to still feel like a sinner. You are supposed to feel like a born-again child of God moving forward towards the fullness of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of people in the church, maybe a lot of you here today, you still haven't received that forgiveness and received Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at this scripture, Caitlin. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Now there are some theologians who teach something called irresistible grace. They teach that the grace of God is so irresistible, Miss Peggy, that when God wants you, you don't have a choice. Now this is a legitimate theological discussion and debate. They teach irresistible grace. When God wants you, He gets you. End of story. I don't believe that, and I don't believe the Scripture teaches that. I believe the Scripture teaches over and over and over again that while He gives us the capacity to believe, while He reaches out to us and He opens doors, while He has done everything in His power to get salvation for the whole world, and He wants the whole world saved, that's scriptural, amen? He wants everybody saved. He gives us the right, and He's given it to us, to choose whether or not we will respond in faith. It's our choice. It's your choice this morning. If you don't receive Him, it's not His fault. That's on you. And this scripture is plain. It says, "But to as many as received Him." Now we know another scripture that says that Jesus did all this so that the whole world could be saved. Amen? Anybody ever seen that scripture? Raise your hand. You know which one I'm talking about. He did this so the whole world could be saved. Right? But this said, "But as many as received Him." That means there are some who won't receive Him. You won't take Him in. You won't become one with Him in spirit. You won't allow this to take place. Now, some of it is simple, you know, "I don't believe. Get out of here. I don't care about church. I don't care about Jesus. I'm an atheist." You know, some of it's that. But I believe far more of it is honest to goodness folks who are seeking Christ, who simply cannot let go and cannot believe that He can do that work in them. And you're still holding that baggage, holding that garbage in here with you this morning. And I want you to let it go. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up this morning, and he's going to sing one last song. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be up at this altar. And if there's anybody here today that needs to confess with your mouth, needs to repent because you're in a life of sin and you feel guilty and you know it, you need to respond. And if there's somebody here today that needs to receive, you've already taken all those other steps, but you still haven't truly allowed Jesus to be Lord of your life. You're still holding on to all that junk from the past. I want to invite you to come to the altar today, make a public profession of your faith, and I will gladly pray with you.